Thank you. Michelle Nichols from Reuters. Ambassador Power, perhaps you might be best placed to answer this one. Do you believe that the government of South Sudan has provided enough cooperation to avoid further discussion among the Security Council of the imposition of an arms embargo?
Thank you. What is very significant about Security Council Resolution 2304 is that we have very clear benchmarks in the resolution, and there is a time frame attached to it. You know, I don't think the negotiations have moved briskly, but they are moving, as my colleague from Senegal indicated. And I think it is significant that the chiefs of defense have engaged, as I understand it, a couple times with their South Sudanese counterparts. It is going to be essential that South Sudan welcome this force, which has such a critical role to play in supporting South Sudan's peace process. So since we haven't yet moved past the time period allotted in the resolution, I think it would be premature to assess, you know, whether the level of cooperation is sufficient. But I think it is extremely important, and it is one of the reasons that we have taken the visit precisely when we have, for us to convey to the government of South Sudan that time is of the essence, because we are very quickly running up against the deadline, and the Secretary General is going to need to be able to report back that cooperation has been forthcoming, that the Regional Protection Force is going to be deployed, that consent at a tactical level is being achieved. I want to stress one other point, which is there's a lot of focus in the UN Security Council resolution about the Regional Protection Force, because we heard concerns articulated from the government of South Sudan, and people understandably want to, you know, understand what the force is going to do and get comfortable with it. I do agree with Fode that the early references to the force as an intervention brigade, you know, may have left a bad taste in some folks' mouths. And so part of the reason we're here also is to clarify what the force is here to do. And it is very deliberately, as Fode said, described as a regional protection force, in that it's comprised of forces from the region in order to enhance protection here. But the second element of the resolution that gets less attention is that UNMISS, which is already here, is being obstructed. And so part of what needs to happen right alongside those negotiations with the RPF is that some of the restrictions on patrolling, the harassment, the rhetoric that treats UNMISS as something other than a partner to peace, that also has to stop. And so it is not on the Security Council to report about whether the conditions laid out in the resolution have been met. Ultimately, that's going to be up to the UN to report. But we really hope to see substantial improvement in the relationship between the government of South Sudan and UNMISS, and we hope that this visit can help facilitate that improvement. And it is a critical part, again, to the Secretary General's reporting that he will have to do here in a couple weeks.
All right. Thank you. I'm David Lokan from Radio Mirai. I just wanted to know, this visit, what would you like to you see that as a key to achieve during this visit?
I think, as I just indicated, we would like to see better understanding between the government of South Sudan and the UN, and the UN being UNMISS, but also the UN Security Council. We would like to see progress made on the Regional Protection Force, and we would like to see very concrete commitments with regard to accountability. There have been, again, a very significant spike in attacks, not only against South Sudanese people, not only against international aid workers who are part of the lifeline here to keeping a hungry population afloat, but also attacks against UN peacekeepers. We have, as part of our delegation, the representative from China, whose country suffered horrible casualties in July. There has got to be accountability when civilians are targeted, when UN personnel are targeted. It is very significant, I think, that the AU is moving forward with its plans to set up a hybrid court. So we also want to engage the government on that and encourage full cooperation with that court. until there is an end to the sense of impunity that people who kill and block humanitarian aid and commit sexual assault, until that sense of impunity that they have ends, it's going to be very difficult for there to be lasting peace here in South Sudan. So commitments as it relates to UNMISS and the RPF, commitments as it relates to accountability, and I think a spirit of partnership we would like to try to recapture. Many of us were intensively involved in the effort to bring about South Sudan's independence, and the unity of the council, the fact that all the permanent members of the council and the non-permanent members united around the effort that the region was making to bring about South Sudan's independence. That unity was so important. We have unity as well today on behalf of South Sudan's peace and on behalf of the importance of the people of South Sudan having protection. And we would like to see that same spirit of partnership that helped bring South Sudan into being as the most recent member of the United Nations, that spirit recaptured in the relationship between UNMISS and the humanitarian community and the government of South Sudan.
Can I add with the...
Go ahead.
Ambassador just invited us to visit Juba by night today because security is here in Juba. But South Sudan is not only Juba, it's other part of South Sudan. How security can also be extended to those part of the country. But also many mechanisms joint have been envisaged in the overall peace agreement. How those mechanisms are functioning or being reorganized to function better. Because at the UN, we engage South Sudan through also regional organizations. You have IGAD, you have the AU. All those are also making their own benchmark as to how the authorities, South Sudanese authorities, are cooperating with the UN.
Thank you. Shandel, World Now Agency. Yeah, my question is, you say you will deploy the UN forces with collaboration with the government. My question is, if the government refuse to deploy the UN forces in South Sudan, what is the plan B? What's your plan B? Because we know all there are South Sudanese, they don't want UN forces to be entered in South Sudan. So what is your plan B?
Well, as I mentioned, there are a lot of people who've been acting with impunity, carrying out killings and rape, looting, stealing humanitarian aid, looting, as we saw in Juba, even a World Food Program warehouse that had food for innocent, hungry people in this country, looted, just like that. So people who are operating with impunity don't want to cooperate with UNMISS and don't want to cooperate with a regional protection force. They don't want to see UNMISS strengthened. That stands to reason. They want to operate with impunity. So I think what's really important about this visit is that we are focused on Plan A. We are united around Plan A. We expect the government of South Sudan, as the newest member state to the United Nations, to want to end the culture of impunity, to want to end killing and sexual assault and ethnically based attacks and political attacks. So we are here as a council to not have to get to Plan B. It would be a grave disappointment, not merely for the UN Security Council, but for the people of this country who count on the government. So I think that we each have a lot to listen and learn from one another. But ultimately, again, we think this regional protection force, when properly understood, I think we're already seeing progress in this regard, is something that the key leaders in South Sudan will see as being in the interest of the South Sudanese people. If they don't, and if that doesn't happen, the UN Security Council resolution is itself very explicit about what Plan B will entail, and the Council will have to come together and consider the steps that we've laid out in the resolution, which include targeted sanctions and an arms embargo. But our objective, I want to stress, is to not to have to get to that, and for the government and for all relevant actors in this country to embrace the Regional Protection Force and embrace the UN family generally as partners in the effort to ensure the dignity and security of the people of this country.